are to be the glory, to be seen, not to be covered up. And that really ties in with the word that I gave you last week that the Lord had given me about it's not time for church as normal, but it's time for us to come on up, see Him in His glory, and let that glory be seen in us. And as I've heard from many of you last week and talked to some others, that just continues to bear witness. So I'm looking for change as a result of what we're doing here together. Not by my words, but by the ministry of the Holy Spirit to you as His words are planted deep down inside you. So today, I want to shift gears and I want to begin to talk about honor. And I'll say several times, but let me say it at the beginning, honor is a big deal to God. And you'll see that this week and into next week, because I don't believe we're going to cover anywhere near all that the Lord has given me to cover today. In 2018, in April, I was led of the Lord to go visit my friend Dorsey, who now lives in a retirement facility and care facility in just outside of Washington, D.C. At that time, I had heard that Dorsey wasn't doing well. And just let me say today, after being with him and prayers that he and I and encouragement that we gave to each other, which is again what we're to do, as Romans 1 tells us, that we may encourage each other as we assemble together, as we meet together. And he is still doing well. He's about 92 or 93 now. He is quarantined in that facility, but he still is doing very well. But when I went on that trip, I went to honor him because he meant so much to me. And we spent a lot of time together in Tennessee. As I landed and called my Uber driver, he picked me up and then we left Washington National Airport and we headed up near the Capitol where you could just look right out the right window and see that facility. And as I did, it was just like a dark shroud came over me. It was strong. And I just began to pray quietly in the Spirit. And as I did, what I really discerned is this is about, in our government, no honor, no respect, and what I'm going to call great hypocrisy, because you hear the legislatures, and that's really who I was looking at, was the House and the Senate as the, on the Capitol building. You hear them talking about my honorable so-and-so. And they'll refer to their opponents in that way. But it's lip service. And we're going to see today that that is not honor. In fact, I'll just say it is hypocrisy, the way it's done. And we don't want to be a part of any of that. So as this happened, I really began, as we finished our drive out to Alexandria and to the facility, to gain a perspective, an increased perspective of how important honor is in our daily lives. And that's something we need to be praying for honor to be released by those who are our elected officials toward each other. Because when that happens, we're going to see we're honoring each other through them when they truly express honor one for another. But this is such a big issue for the Lord. There's 190 verses on honor and dishonor, and these words that are used for honor are used 211 times. Now, let me just remind you why we're doing this, and I'm going to read from 1 Peter 2:21, the Weiss translation. And remember, we're learning from Jesus now, and this has kind of been the anchor for this study. It's certainly where we got the name of it from. For this very thing you were called, again, the Weiss translation, because Christ also suffered on your behalf, leaving behind for you a model to imitate. Let me read that again. Leaving behind for you a model to imitate, in order that by close application, so we're not following Jesus doing those things that he did at a distance or doing them totally different from he did. We're doing them as he did, in order that by close application, you and I might follow in his footprints And that literally, the word that is used, it means footprints. So think about this. We've looked at Jesus in these first four sessions, and we saw how he walked in the Father's love. And we've said paramount for him, and obviously we saw for us. And then secondly, we looked at his identity in the Father, and we did that primarily through the prayers that he, the Holy Spirit, prayed through Paul for you and I. And look at what the Lord has given me to teach now. So you've got love, which is the main thing. You've got our identity, which is so key to our success today. And the next thing that he's put on my heart to talk about with you is honor. So I am convinced this is a huge, huge issue for the Lord, and it's so important that we walk in it today. Let me give you some definitions from the dictionary. In a verb form, we'll talk about a verb form and a noun form, and I've just tried to pull a number into a consolidated few. In verb form, it says that the definition for honor is to regard or treat with respect. And I think that's right on target with what we'll see in Scripture. It's also to give special recognition to someone. Now, think about that, to give special recognition to. Now, you've been studying, and hopefully you've been declaring what love is over you. Combine those two together with that unmerited agape love that we're supposed to be sharing with each other. And you begin to see how honor and love just go hand in glove. As a noun, it means a showing of merited respect. So it's addressed to someone who merits respect. And let me just say, that doesn't have to be because they've earned it. One whose worth brings respect or fame. And finally, an evidence of distinction, as in a title or a position. And that just makes me think today how much dishonor there is exhibited toward individuals in our government, from the president down through his cabinet, down into the legislative branch, and even to the Supreme Court, that there's no honor given, even though those are exalted titles in our nation and people who we ought to be treating with honor, whether we agree with them or not. And then there are the synonyms. And I picked out two that I think really summarize it and give us a good picture of it. The first word is deference. Looking towards someone else before yourself, deferring to others. The second one is to prefer. Preferred, out of respect. One of the things I'm praying about is doing a little more in-depth study on love for a few weeks after we complete this series. And you're going to see one element of love is to prefer your brother. But it's also an attribute of honor. So let's go to the Scripture. 1 Samuel chapter 2, if you'll turn there, we're going to begin to see what Jesus, who is the Word, so we can look at Old Testament Word, and we can also see pictures of what Jesus' view on this is, because he is the Word concerning honor. And in doing so, as you see what he says in his Word, then you're going to get a picture of how he lived when he was on this earth. So in 1 Samuel 2, we're going to be looking at Eli. And at this point, Samuel has been born and he's come to serve in the temple with Eli. And I want to pick it up in verse 12 to give you some perspective on what's going on. So we pick up in verse 12. Now the sons of Eli were worthless men. Wow. That's pretty well to the point, isn't it? And it says, they did not know the Lord. Now here are people who are serving as priests. And he calls them worthless and says they do not know the Lord. And the custom of the priests with the people. So they did not know how to serve the people. Now, they did some things, but they truly did not know and understand how to serve the people. And when any man was offering the sacrifice, the priest would come while the meat was boiling with a three-pronged fork in his hand, and he would thrust it into the pan or kettle or cauldron or pot. And all that the fork brought up, the priest would take for himself. They did this in Shiloh to all the Israelites who came there. Verse 15. Also, before they burned the fat, the priest's servant would come and say to the man who was sacrificing, "Give the priest meat for roasting, for he will not take boiled meat from you, only raw." Well, that sounds like a little lying there also, doesn't it? And then 16, and the man would say to him, "They must surely burn the fat first, then take as much as you desire." And he'll say, "No, but you shall give it to me now. And if not, I will take it by force." And then verse 17 sums it up. Thus the sin of the young men was very great before the Lord, for the men despised, and that's a key word for us to note, the offering of the Lord. So that kind of sets the stage for what we're looking at here. Now, I want to, as we start in this next section of it, I want to start in verse 27, and I want you to see how this position had been honored and established by the Lord. 27 says, "A man of God came to Eli and said to him, 'Thus says the Lord, did I not reveal myself to the house of your father when they were in Egypt in bondage to Pharaoh's house?'" Now let me stop there. If I said, "Did the Lord not reveal himself to my father in an in-person visit?" I would consider that a great, great honor. And I believe you would too. So he is saying here, look what I've done for you and how I've honored you, and you're going to see the family. "And did I not choose from all the tribes of Israel to be my priest, to go up to my altar, to draw near to him, to burn incense, to carry an ephod before me? And did I not give to the house of Israel, your father, all the fire offerings to the sons of Israel?" So again, he's just reinforcing all the honor that has been presented to them. And then verse 29, which is really 29 and 30 are the key ones here. "Why do you push back at my sacrifice and at my offering, which I've commanded in my dwelling?" And he's talking to Eli now. "And honor your sons," excuse me, "above me, by making yourselves fat with the choicest of every offering of my people." So, pretty direct accusation of the Lord. Honoring his sons before him. Now, we talked about in love, who are we supposed to love and who's at the top of that position, even above our family? Jesus is. And then verse 30, "Thus, therefore, the Lord of God of Israel declares, I did indeed say that your house and the house of your father would walk before me forever. But now the Lord declares, far be it from me, for those who honor me, I will honor. And those who despise me," in other words, who do not esteem, some translations say, "who do not esteem me, they will be lightly esteemed." So what do we learn from these verses? Well, one of the things we need to understand is that the word honor that is used here is the Hebrew word kabod, kabod. Now, you may recognize that, or kavod, kavod. You may recognize that as the word which is used for glory. It's very similar to it. And the root of this word that is used for honor really means the glory of God. And so it's like his honor, he is honoring you by his glory. Now, what have we been honored with? The Holy Spirit dwelling in us. Well, what an honor that is. So what do we learn from these verses? Well, the first thing we saw was that Eli valued his sons above God, above the law, and I'm going to say also, and above the people that he was responsible for serving. And this was a big deal. And we see how God reacted with it. He said, I'm going to lightly esteem. Now, it's interesting to me, and I think we need to note, that when we are honoring the Lord, we also are probably going to be correcting those over whom we have responsibility for, be it children or grandchildren or a minister over a congregation. And that is something that was lacking. And that tells me that he's really not honoring his son, because you're going to see correction is an attribute of honoring somebody. Maybe next week you will see that. The other thing that it says is they did not value the offerings of the Lord. Now, what impact did this have? It went far beyond what you saw in the verses. Because what we don't read here, but see in other scriptures, is that when the priest did not value the offering, what happened to the people's view of the offering? They began also to not value the offering, to despise it, because they saw it being abused. They saw it becoming something that just was a ritual or common or just something we do. That's just what you do. In other words, there was no value or worth to it. You know, there's a phrase, as the priest, so the people. And this is what we see in this case. And this is why it's so important for Christian leaders today to not just talk the talk, but walk it as well and exhibit it in their life. So I would ask the question then, what is our value system? Who, what do we esteem? And that's what we're going to be looking at in this study. Now I want you to go back to verse 8 of this same chapter. And I'm going to read this, and I want you to see what the heart of the Lord is toward his people, the priest and his people. Verse 8 says, he raises the poor from the dust. He lifts the needy from the ash heap to make them sit with nobles, places of honor, and inherit what? A seat of honor. Now, think about that last phrase. He's going to make us sit with nobles and to inherit a seat of honor. What did Jesus inherit by his honor, walk of honor with the Lord? The seat at the right hand. Now, what are you honored with because of the work Jesus did for you that we just believe and receive through his grace? You've been honored because you've been seated with him, in him, at the right hand of the Father. So we're just learning from Jesus what we have in this lifetime. That is so big. That is just shouting ground right there to think about the seat of honor that you've been placed in. And with seats of honor and authority go power. And that's why we've been talking about covenant authority in the past weeks, because the Lord needs us to execute his plan on the earth for him from that seat of honor that you've been seated in. Now go to Mark 6, and we're just going to kind of look at a few scriptures here to introduce what we are going to be spending time on today and again next week. So Mark 6 is when Jesus is in his hometown. And you know what we're going to read, but let's just start back in verse 2. Verse 1 says he's in his hometown at teaching there at Nazareth. And verse 2 says, and when the Sabbath had come, he began to teach in the synagogue. And many listeners were astonished, and they were saying, where did this man get these things, and what is this wisdom given to him, and such miracles as performed by his hands? Now, a couple of things that I want you to pick up here. Where did this man get these things? They saw what? That he was teaching with authority, and that he had great wisdom. Now, when he spoke with authority, and they received the wisdom, what happened? Well, it says miracles were performed at his hand. So again, we see speaking the word, signs and wonders. Just the same calling that we have, we see Jesus fulfilling. So they were impressed when they heard him and they saw him. But then when they began to think about it, look what happened in verse 3. Is not this the carpenter, the son of Mary, and the brother of James and Joseph and Judas and Simon? Are his sisters not here with us? What are they saying? Wait a minute. He's no different than the rest of us. He's just common like we are. And what happened then when they took that perspective? It says they were offended at him. They were offended at him. Now, why were they offended? Because they're saying, you're no better than we are. Now, there's a lesson for you and I, and don't compare yourself to others. Honor them, but don't compare to others. Now, they made Jesus as common. And if you've seen anything in these studies these past 4 weeks, you've seen that Jesus was anything but common. But do you see that you're anything but common? You're not just a mere man or woman. You've been created a work of art, a workmanship by the Lord. So we're anything but common. And then look at what Jesus said in verse 4. He said to them, a prophet is not without honor, except in his hometown and among his own relatives and in his own household. Now, he's saying that from a negative standpoint. But what is he saying? He's saying when we view somebody as common, as just one of us, that there is not the honor given regardless of the position or the calling that this person has had attributed to them. Now, the word no honor, or the words, two words, no honor, comes from a single word in the Hebrew, the Greek, which is made up of two words. And the first one is a, which means not. And the second one is spelled T-I-M-E, but it's not time, it's tome. And tome literally means, and it's translated, honor. It means a value. So how you value something, as we saw in the definition earlier, it really points to and has a connotation of a price paid for something. So it's implying what? Another word we saw earlier, the worth that you attribute to something. Now let me just tell you, it is the same word, tome, that is used to describe the precious blood of Jesus in 1 Peter 1:19. So that's the highest honor I think we could receive, is to understand that when we're honored, God is talking about you and I and his view toward us, what he wants to do toward us, raise us up, seat us with him, and he compares it to his blood, which is a full circle to say that's what you're worth to him. Glory, glory to God. Now, Greek word, tome, highly valued, worth much, anything but common. Now, I want you to think about the words common and the word we used last week, normal, just routine, the same. Saints, again, the Lord is just reinforcing to us, now is not the time for normal. Now is the time for his supernatural. And look at verses 5 and 6, because I want you to see honor has a reward. Said differently, there is impact associated with honor. And it's a two-sided coin. And he could do, talking about Jesus, no miracle there, except that he laid his hands upon a few sick people and healed them. And then verse 6 says, and he wondered at their unbelief. So when you view the Word as just the Word and treat it as normal, you're not seeing it as what? As the anointed Word, and no faith is coming or cometh to you. You get my point. And you're not growing when we don't value and honor the Word of God. This is a big deal, because I have found it is easy when I'm sitting listening to someone talk to tune out for a second if a thought comes to my mind. But I'm learning, even reinforced as I go through this, I need to focus on what the individual is saying. And the only exception I try to make of that now is when the Lord begins to speak to me about something. And oftentimes when I'm hearing others talk, I'll think something that ties into it, and I'll go writing, making notes. That's also why I listen to teachings a couple of times that really minister to me, because that way I can make sure that I'm honoring what the speaker is saying and that I am picking out and pulling from that those things that the Lord is giving me. Now, what do we learn from these verses about Jesus? Well, that He is to be honored, highly honored, prized. The value of the blood, His blood, deserves all honor and all glory. Now think about being offended. When you're offended and call somebody as marvelous as Jesus was walking with them on this earth, or even a man of God that you have great honor for today. I'm not saying you put him on a pedestal. You don't worship him. We worship Jesus. We don't worship any other man. But when you honor him, then it keeps you away from pride, from offense, from jealousy, because you're saying, if you move into that respect where you dishonor him, then you're saying, I'm as good as he is. And what is that? Pride. Or, I could do that if I had just had the chance. And what are we doing? We are treating him as common, but we're building up pride. And I know the scripture says, and you do too, that with that pride comes every evil work. That is not something we want to walk in. So I would say it this way too. There is a loss to you and to me when we don't honor as we should. Now, what was the price they paid by not honoring Jesus, in addition to how they felt personally about him and the animus they had? It said Jesus could do no mighty miracles there. Didn't say he didn't want to do them. I know he did. That's his heart. He wanted to raise them up and seat them and for them to inherit a place of honor where he could exalt them. But they lost the ability to receive from him, from the Lord, through him. And that is so easy for us to do today. So what might we expect when we walk in his footprints? Now, let me back up. Let me make this statement to you. True honor produces a reward. Now you say, well, I'm not after rewards. Well, don't rule that out, okay? The Lord wants to honor you, and honor is viewed as a reward by him. So you need to learn to receive that honor, to receive what the Lord's offering, and I'll give you a good example of that in a moment. So let me go now. What might we